Currently, 57 degrees in Bedford, 61 in Lynchburg, 64 in Danville, 57 in Salem, 57 in Roanoke.
It is 7:06 on the Morning Jam. It's Friday. We'll have some Friday funnies for you. We'll have, I almost called her Dr. Julie Wheeler. I wonder if she is a doctor.
Well, I mean, and nowadays you can be anything you want to be.
Well,
so
this is
maybe
true.
We should just start calling her
Dr.
that.
Dr. Julie Wheeler will be on the show.
That's right.
It just sounds better.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to start being, if you could call me Dr. Janet Rose, that'd be great.
Can I call you Dr. J?
Sure.
Dr. J.
That was taken, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That was taken. Mm-hmm. So maybe not. You could call me Admiral.
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 Admiral Rose.
Admiral Rose. That'd be good.
Admiral
I'd like
Rose.
That.
Rose.
Okay. That sounds dignified. What would you like to be called?
Mark.
Oh. Well, that's no fun.
You can do like Kevin does. You can just call me by my last name. Hey, Lamb!
Oh, yeah, really?
Anyway.
So we've had a lot of people texting about that Philadelphia story.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird deal.
Well, so here's the thing. And when we talked about this last week,
mm-hmm.
About how the worker saw something on the cameras, mm-hmm. and they were the ones that called 911.
Right.
While, you know, they said other people were sitting there.
I know.
So when it came out last week, but now the prosecutor's saying it's simply not true.
Hmm. Okay.
So, it has drawn nationwide attention.
Okay.
Because police said bystanders did nothing to intervene.
Right. Right.
I think that's the story.
Sure. Sure.
I mean,
it's the story. Definitely.
It would be even more disgusting if they filmed it. But now the district attorney said it's not true that people sat on the train and watched this transpire and took videos for their own gratification. No one said it was for their own gratification.
Right, right.
And he also stressed that it's not against the law in Pennsylvania to witness a crime and not intervene.
Okay.
He's doing spin control right now.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because they need witnesses to come forward so they can nail this guy.
Sure.
He paints a picture of a sparsely crowded train with passengers getting on and off through the interaction. Bull
right.
crap.
Right, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said people getting on and off the train might not have known what was going on.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure the screaming and pushing away wasn't
well,
a clue.
I thought he said she was consensual. Didn't he originally?
The rapist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm being silly here.
He did acknowledge. Now listen, because the headline that we just heard had him saying, that is absolutely false. That is not true. That people were filming that. That's what people heard.
Mm-hmm.
He acknowledged there were two people who were believed to have filmed at least part of the incident.
Jeez.
They have CCTV footage that shows the whole attack.
Oh, okay. From the cams on the train.
From the cameras on the train.
Sure.
And also, and see, and this is what we try to do on this show, because the headlines will manipulate and twist and turn everything.
Yep.
So the truth is that beautiful bean footage that you can't spin or control shows the woman being attacked. It shows people in the same train car, doing nothing, and it shows at least two people filming it.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
Right.
I don't care how you spin it.
Sure.
Just makes me so mad when they do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can try to twist it and manipulate it all you want to, but the bottom line is,
yeah,
that's what happened.
Yeah, that's somebody's daughter.
Yeah, it is. As somebody said, I wonder if she was incapacitated by alcohol or drugs and nobody helped her. I don't know. I mean, she was rejecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been sad if she was, but it still doesn't give him the right to. Not that you're saying that there is.
Right.
I can't believe that nobody would stand up and try to stop that.
Right.
Says there are some good people out there. We got a text in, but there are a lot of jackasses that will stand around and videotape junk like this.
Right, exactly.
look at some of the crap on YouTube, and that's true. You'll see fights, you'll see altercations, you'll see, well, I mean, we saw the video of the two security guards.
Oh, that watched the woman get the crap beat out of her.
Yeah, Asian woman.
They were on the inside part of the glass.
Right, locked away safe.
Right, well, they were looking through the window watching this Asian woman
get kicked and stomped.
Yeah.
And they were big guys, too.
Right, and they could have easily taken him down. Sure,
sure. So people don't stand up and do the right thing anymore.
Yeah. So got any more captains? Let's lighten it up.
Randy says, I'm trying to figure out why she didn't get off the train or hit the panic button. Because she couldn't.
Probably.
He was all over her.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the size difference was, but I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a pretty tall girl, pretty good sized girl. Men are just stronger in their upper body.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Just ask Rachel Levine.
You mean our new admiral? 4-star admiral. As of yesterday, woke up just a normal citizen. I mean, she was Secretary of Health and Human Services, but and by the end of the day, she was a 4-star admiral. Very proud. Very
proud to be the first female. See, we have a lot of people who've been served in the military. They are very upset about that. They have offered a variety of salutes to this new admiral that I won't be sharing on the air.
Any more new? I mean, we came up with a couple more. We did Captain Crunch, Captain Kangaroo. Coming up with some captains.
Captain Caveman.
Captain Nemo.
Yep.
Captain Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America.
Oh, yep. Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. There's Captain Hook. And then, of course...
Yeah.
Just don't know if I want to go below the belt. Captain Underpants.
Oh, Captain Underpants. Yeah. SpongeBob. He's Captain Underpants.
That's right.
I love Captain Underpants. And then we have one more text about the Philadelphia story. Apparently the guy was living here illegally.
Oh, jeez.
Teresa said, stop calling him a her. I'm sorry. I was doing they, them earlier, Teresa. It's very hard for me.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
434-534-8500 or toll-free anywhere, 866-916-3776. Trey said, we got one on the line.
Okay.
No pun intended. Wants to talk about phishing.
Oh. Phishing scams with Dr. Julie?
Yeah. Julie, who's coming up, here.
There's a lot of them.
820. Here on the show.
All right.
Again, Ma, get salty.
Hey, Salty.
Wow, twice in 1 week.
Oh, good morning. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to only call once a week of the people a chance to talk,
Oh, no. You are fine. No. You only call when you got something on your mind.
True.
Well, I got something so important. Y'all's been talking about the fishing scam. And you're getting ready to talk, I think, to the Julie Wheeler. I need for her to look into this up there at the BBB.
Okay.
Better Business Bureau, yeah.
You know, I talked about Delmont, you know, my cousin.
Yes, he was named after a fruit cocktail, as I recall.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Delmonte.
Right.
I should have known better, you know, not to listen to Delmont.
Oh, boy. What?
Mark, hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm on the phone. I'm providing a public service on the radio right now. I'm going to get your dang biscuits there. Oh, Janet, that got me running all the time picking up food for these people. Hold on a minute. Now, man, I'll get your biscuit in just a couple of minutes. Mm. You know, Trey said to get to the point.
He did.
Since 2014, you know, I've been on the hunt for this elusive James River blue cat, you see.
Is that a feline?
A blue cat?
You know what that...
Feline?
No, not like a furry cat. I'm talking about a fish.
Oh,
a catfish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
In December of 2014, you see, they caught one. There's 102 pounds.
Wow.
Holy cow. Hmm. That is a big catfish.
Yeah. It sure is.
You know how many people at Henderson Reunion that could feed, Mark?
A whole lot of Hendersons.
That's right, a lot. Anyway, Delmont said, talking, I got the guaranteed bait for you here. He catches the old blue cat, you see. Mm-hmm. And he talked me into spending $35 for 24 orange woolly back stink bait worm, you see.
Oh, wow.
$35, Janet.
That's a lot.
It's $1.46 per stink.
Stink bait?
I guess it is. Well, how did you deal with it?
Well, it was all to help me win that record, yeah. Breaking the James River. You know, catching that blue cat. You see?
Did you do it?
Oh, matter of fact, I didn't catch squat.
Oh no.
Well, yeah. Now that you know, you see, I caught a cold, but that's because I went out so early. Because he said, "Go out early, Salty, and you're gonna get this thing." But it was nothing but a fishing scam, Janet.
Oh well.
Wow.
We're gonna be talking about different fishing scams, but I can understand why you'd be upset.
Well, this is, I mean, a demo. I should have took the page from the past with old Delmont. He gave me someplace up there on the lake up there in Smith Mountain. Said, Salty, you go over there and you're going to get some fish in this one spot. That was another scam. I should have learned my lesson, Janet.
Yeah, stuck with the James River. That's where the big ones are.
That's what I'm told, too.
So my advice anyway to my fellow fishermen friends out there, and fisher women, and all those non-binary fisher people out there, Janet, just go over there to F&L and get you some chicken liver and put that on the hook.
Yeah, that's right. That's what my boys use.
Or cook up those chicken livers.
Well, that's all I got, Janet. Please share this with Julie, because she's got a lot of influence up there at the BBB.
Yeah.
That's
you
true.
Like saying that.
That is true. We will let her know about your report on the woolly back stink bait.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that right?
That's right.
I think so.
You got it right, Janet. We'll see y'all later. Have a good weekend. And that includes you too, Mark.
Well, thanks for including me, Salty.
We love you, Salty.
I think I love him, maybe.
Love you back.
Oh, my. It's time to go fishing.
We'll call it fishing. Get a little off the radar. Break out my old guitar. Popcorn in a mason jar. I take a sip, make a wish on a shooting star. Girl, you got me hook, line, and sinking. When they ask us where we're heading, we'll say somewhere where they're biting. Little secret spot hiding when them lightning bugs are bugging. Catch a buzz and catch a feeling just to reel in you in. Stealing kisses just go missing when they ask where we've been. We'll call it.
Start your mornings on the right foot and listen to The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I don't like buying milk, right? They don't sell any other product that way. You grab a bag of marshmallows off the shelf, all the other marshmallows don't come at you. Milk, the heaviest item in the store. They sell on a ramp that's aimed at your face. I mean, pull 1 gallon off, 7 others slam forward. It's 2%. You wanted non-fat, but now you can't put it back. I discovered, though, you push those other milks hard enough, they disappear.
That is very true. I mean, if it's fully loaded,
yeah, it's hard to get that one out,
and then
they are.
If you have to put it back, heaven help you.
What does a gallon of milk weigh? It's got to be
pretty heavy. I mean, after your heart surgery, they wouldn't let
Yeah, you can't.
You couldn't even lift up a
gallon. I wasn't allowed to.
Right.
Until, you know, I built my strength back up. Yeah.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
So I had a situation at a store recently.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, in an effort to cut down on shoplifting, I'm assuming.
Right.
They have put alarms on things like deodorant.
Really?
And razor blades. And razor blades are expensive.
Yeah, sure.
So if you're trying to find the right razor blade, mm-hmm. the whole time that you lift it up, it's going ding-dong, ding-dong, ding-dong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it alerts people. Yeah. So I made the mistake of picking up the wrong one. They also have like a little spring mechanism that pushes it forward. Yeah. So it's really tight.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to put it back.
Sure.
Can't get it in. Mm-hmm. The whole time the thing's going bing bong, bing bong. So it looks like I'm shoplifting razor blades.
What's she doing on aisle four?
I know.
There?
Why has it been ringing buzzing for so long? Because I can't get it back in to the thing. Yeah. That's not good. So you haven't experienced that yet?
Where the No.
Yeah, well, it's a thing.
I buy my deodorant at either Aldi's or Ollie's.
Mm.
I get the discounted, and I'm sure you can tell from here.
I was like, I do not skimp on my deodorant.
No, I get.
You know what I've started buying?
What?
It's crazy expensive, but it's the most amazing deodorant on the planet.
Okay.
And my daughter, who's a nutritionist and a trainer,
mm-hmm.
and sweats a lot because she works out a lot, told me about it, and it's the Lume deodorant.
The Lume.
Lume. L-U-M-E.
Okay.
And they've got really funny commercials and stuff. Mm-hmm. It works for 72 hours.
Wow.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
And it works. I mean, even if, like, I know people who have, like, sweaty feet or sweaty palms.
Right.
You can put it on your palms if you've got issues with sweaty hands or something. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And it's natural and it works. But it doesn't smell. The thing about it is you get the scent and then you put it on, then it doesn't smell like anything.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of weird.
Sometimes I get sweaty hands when I have to, like, speak in front of, you know, a large crowd. I mean, I DJ weddings. That's, like, that's fun. If you're going to get me to clown around, I'll go up and give announcements and I don't get, I don't get nervous. And Nan Torrance taught me this when I used to do an announcement at Blue Ridge Community Church many years ago. And she said, Mark, you're too rigid. Be Mark when you do announcements. Have some fun with it.
That's right.
And then I just, it was easy. But like if I have to get up, do a prepared message, I get a little nervous, I have to admit.
Yeah, I can understand
that. Hands are sweaty. Now I have to ask you, is this Lume, is it a white or is it the clear type?
It's like a push-up. It's like you twist it and it comes up. It's not solid.
It's not a solid?
No. Okay. I mean, so you could almost put it on your hands like a lotion.
Okay.
But, I mean, for some people, that's a real problem.
Right.
Sweaty feet or sweat. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty. So that's good. That's good stuff. We're getting more information coming out about this horrible thing that happened in Hollywood with Alec Baldwin.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, no charges have been filed.
Right.
It's still under investigation, according to the New Mexico Sheriff's Office. They're saying that Alec Baldwin was seen in tears by two members of the press following the shooting. Baldwin, who's 63, fired what was described as a prop firearm at the Bonanza Creek Ranch.
Right.
And, of course, fatally wounding a cinematographer and wounding the director.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's so sad.
Two of the staffers said they saw him in tears after the incident. Of course you would.
Mm-hmm.
And he was questioned by investigators, but no charges have been filed on that. So
that John Eric, J-O-N, Eric was the gentleman that died in 1985, I believe. The name of the show was called Cover Up, and it was about some, as I recall, the best recollection is they were like pseudo detectives, but they were like models too, and they kind of like modeled during the day and were detectives at night or whatever. And he had a blank gun, and he had stuck it up to his temple, just joking around, and pulled the trigger, and there was a like a gauze or something in the gun.
Mm-hmm.
In the barrel, and it caused a part of his skull to fracture, and it took his life.
Mm-hmm.
Very handsome, on the uptick.
Well, I mean, you'd be surprised if you start researching how many people have died that way. There's a lot of rumors with this, though, saying that he had cocked the gun and didn't know that it contained live rounds.
Right.
So there's a lot of rumors, and we're probably not going to know for
a
while.
And an interesting thing,
why
too.
Why would it contain live rounds?
I was thinking it might be like a 9mm, but he's shooting a Western.
Yeah, this is like
a old. So this is a barrel gun.
Yeah.
You'd have to pull that trigger twice to get two shots out, unless one bullet did the damage.
Yeah, this is like Wild West.
Yeah, it's called Rusty or Rust.
I think they filmed many westerns on this same set in New Mexico, but and I'm sure more and more is going to come out with that. Something else that everybody is talking about is they have confirmed that the body found in Florida at that environmental park was in fact Brian Laundrie.
Right.
They did compare the dental records to confirm the 23-year-old's identity.
Yeah.
Of course, the big talk is about his parents.
Yeah, that they found the body when the FBI couldn't.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Something's fishy there.
Do you believe in coincidences?
Yeah.
Like that?
Not this one.
I don't either.
Not this one, because it already appears that they're dirty because of... You know, he comes back without his girlfriend after being gone in her van, and then they decide, let's go camping, you know, and then he's gone. I wouldn't put it past the parents that they killed him.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
You know they're suspicious of the families, that they, the Landrys themselves, helped lead the police to the remains.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, they had...
Something's not right.
I agree.
There's more to that story.
Yeah.
For sure.
Imagine the podcast in the future.
Well, there's going to be a bunch of them.
There'll be many.
And the theories about it. Yeah, I don't think this is the last we've heard about those parents, for sure.
I'm in agreement with you there.
We have some local headlines coming up. The latest headlines from Lynchburg, Roanoke, and the South Side. Kimberly McBroom going to be bringing that for us. And we have our community spotlight. Yeah. On the way.
Yeah. Somebody you hear sometimes on Thursdays.
Right.
He'd be wearing a different hat today, though.
Yeah, he's very active.
Yeah, Trey Watkins will be with us in the next segment. It's the Morning Jam. It's Friday, and I'm pretty darn excited about it. 7:31 CBS News Brief coming up next.
Currently, we have 57 degrees in Roanoke and Salem, 64 in Danville, 57 in Bedford, 61 in Lynchburg.
Okay, Janet, occasionally I do this, and you probably wonder when I do it why I don't do it for you. But I actually have a movie trailer that goes, and I had it, and where did you go? I just had it!
What are you, movie trailer for what?
No, for my story. I've got an actual movie trailer that goes with my story.
Do you?
And I found it.
Oh.
Here we go.
All right, boys, lock and load. So what do we deal with here? Gun runners? Gun dealers?
It's two women who are counterfeiting coupons.
This feels like a lot. You don't think we're coming in a little hot here, boss?
And they're in an actual, SWAT team. They're in a SWAT team.
For somebody who's faking coupons.
Faking coupons.
Okay.
It's a show called Queen Pins. And it looks like it's going to be, or it's a movie called Queen Pins. It looks like it's going to be really, really funny on Paramount Plus here coming out soon. I've seen the previews several times. But was it really a movie? It happened in Virginia Beach.
Really?
Yeah. This is an actual story. That's a movie. Coupons in every crevice of the house, FBI says, totaling $31 million.
Wow.
In coupons. $31
million. Like fake coupons?
Yes.
Oh, fake coupons.
Yeah, fake coupons.
Okay.
Virginia Beach woman took part in that $31 million counterfeiting scheme. It comes on to tell us here, Janet, that Lori Talons and her husband, he had a design... computer design and marketing and this kind of thing. They made these coupons to look so real that you couldn't tell the difference. They had $31 million worth of coupons stuffed in every crevice of the house, and they got busted.
That seems like an awful lot of effort to scam people.
You don't know how they package the coupons.
I mean, how many coupons could you possibly use at one time?
Well, they were making them for distribution, obviously.
Oh, so they weren't using them. They were selling them for other people to use.
That is part of the deal.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
But can you imagine $31 million in coupons at the house?
Can you imagine if they actually tried to do something productive with their life? They could probably cure cancer or something.
Well,
but no.
If you watch the rest of the movie trailer for Queen pins. The funny part is, like, she said, so there's three of them. She says, so what are you doing with the money? Oh, we spent it. And she pulls up to a hangar. The door is open. There's a private jet in there.
Nice.
There's like a Lamborghini.
Okay.
And a few other things, you know, little.
They may find that,
have
too.
Some real coin.
Well, we've got a story out of Grayson County now, not nearly as sexy as that one.
Yeah.
For the second time in a month, the Mount Rogers Health District are issuing a warning about rabies. This time, a rabid skunk attacking other animals, including dogs, in the Baywood area of Grayson County. The skunk got in a fight with several dogs, and mm-hmm. they will win, too. A skunk can do some damage.
Mm-hmm.
And did test positive for rabies. Make sure your dogs have their rabies shots.
Oh yeah,
and be on the lookout for any type of animal that is not behaving in a way that seems normal, and it's, you know, fatal once the symptoms appear.
Sure.
So,
sure.
If you think your pet has been in an altercation with a rabid animal, you need to get help right away.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we have some guests in the studio. We're excited to have these guys a couple times before, way back when we first started the show.
Yeah.
And things are progressing. That would be with Trey Watkins, who comes in and checks in on Thursday sometimes, and we talk politics, but he's here to talk about something else he's been involved with, along with Dr. Mike Anderson. Did I get that right? I think I did.
We would be remiss to not acknowledge the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation. They are the folks that help us bring these stories to you
mm-hmm.
so that you know about the great work these nonprofit organizations are doing in our area.
Yeah. So, Trey, tell us what you're involved with this guy that just got in here, Dr. Mike Anderson, and tell us what's been going on with Grow a Future.
Yes. So thank you, Mark. Thank you, Janet, as mm-hmm. usual, for having us. Thank you, Bill Bodine from the Greater Lynchburg mm-hmm. Community Foundation. so, yes, I'm here with the Dr. Mike Anderson. Our organization and nonprofit is called Grow a Future. We have been working very hard over the past year and a half to get this thing off the ground. We have led with a great sense of urgency to provide the urban communities with the types of resources and programs that we feel like we need, they're going to need in order to be successful in the future. And that's the whole premise of what we're doing. We're currently located at the Hunt and Randolph Community Center, and we've been renovating the building over the past few months. If you've driven past there on 12th Street, it's right next to Dunbar Middle School. We've been able to get a lot done in a very short amount of time. And so we're really excited. We're hoping to launch here in early 2022. And, you know, we're going to continue to roll with this thing. You know, we have a very big vision for what we want to do in the future. And we're just going to continue to grow. And the more that, you know, we collaborate and bring people on board, we feel like the bigger we can get. And the bigger the impact that we can have.
So it's been a while since we talked to you guys about this. Dr. Anderson, tell us what's happened since we had you last in the studio and, you know, how things are progressing, because we are in the middle of a pandemic. It's an interesting time to start an organization. How's it going?
Okay, well, yeah, thanks, Mark and Janet. Great to see you guys again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The program that is Grow a Future is actually been around for 16 years.
Okay.
And it was the program that I actually started that preceded the Jubilee Center, which I'm the co-founder of that as well.
Okay.
So the work that we've done has been a systemic work over the last 16 to 20 years. And this is the newest addition to the family of programs, okay?
I see.
So we've been around for a while. And Grow Future is just a different concept, and we focus on three things. Three things we focus on, and that's literacy, enrichment, and wellness. And the most important focus is the literacy part. And under literacy, we call it focusing on the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our acronym is FACT. We're focusing on financial literacy, academic literacy, cultural literacy, and technology. And Grow Future is a different type of approach to a community center. We are more strategic, we're more focused, we're laser focused, and we're not only about enrichment and enriching and enhancing programs, but we actually want to add to the tax base. Mm-hmm. We want people who are coming out of poverty to develop skills that are going to contribute to the free enterprise system, to mm-hmm. the markets. We want people to come out that are working. When I was helped to start Jubilee, I had the concept of a washing machine, mm-hmm. and I would tell this to Kevin Campbell, and we'd play basketball at the YMCA, and we'd talk about it, and that's the washing machine. People will go in, children will go in, and they would run out all four cycles of the programs, and they would come out sparkling, mm-hmm. and that's what we went around and told the Moose Lodges and right. the, mm-hmm. all of our supporters. Mm-hmm. Grow Future is just an outgrowth of that. It's a little bit more focused. It's a little bit more laser focused, and the outcomes that we're looking for is productivity. It's not going to be for everybody.
Right.
It's going to be, it's come one, come all. But at the end of the day, we want people that have skills.
And one of the other things that you seem to stress, and because I've been following you all since we first learned about your organization, and one of the things that you stress that I think is so important, and as a mom, I've tried to do this too, is to stress the importance of attitude. The importance of having a good attitude, absolutely. Having a can-do attitude. Even one of your posts said, you don't hire for skills, you hire for attitude. You can teach skills. And a lot of times, we have kids from all walks of life that feel defeated before they've even tried.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it as well. And you do a great job with helping them understand it's okay to ask questions and you don't have to have all the answers. Exactly. So, I mean, even teaching that part of it is vital. Do you find that some of these kids really struggle in that area?
Absolutely, Janet. And to your point, we actually have a counseling program called Propel Counseling, which is an outgrowth of Anderson Counseling. So as a licensed professional counselor with an agency of about 30 employees, we're focusing on specific areas of counseling that are endemic to the populations that live in the urban areas. And so together, Trey and I, with his rich background going to VMI, we're really focusing on character development, and it's a very targeted and focused outcome-oriented community-centered yeah. approach. And so, yeah, that's what we're focusing on.
Now, you just did an event just a few days ago called the Grow a Future Fall Festival, where it looks like you had some great... How did that go, and is that going to be returning, do you think?
It went well, very well, as a matter of fact. You know, they hadn't had an event there in 3 years.
Right.
And so for the community to ride by and see, you know, our counselors, they all had on their blue shirts, mm-hmm. and on the back it says it's what you can do that
yeah.
makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And children
right.
and parents were just riding by, looking down the hill, like, hey, is something going on? And they were stopping by and coming by, and our staff was very happy. The community is happy. The old Dunbar graduates
yeah.
were stopping by, and they were smiling and fist pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really nice to see that area have something coming back, this family-oriented, youth-oriented.
Yeah. Trey, if I remember right, you guys targeted kind of that third to fifth grade because you feel like that's that age bracket that we lose the kids if we don't get them by then. Is that correct?
Yes, so we began with targeting that third to fifth grade, but we've expanded that all the way out to the eighth grade.
Okay.
But the importance on the third to fifth grade is the academic struggles that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
which are magnified now more than ever.
Yes, and speaking of, I'm not sure if you saw the headline News Advance the other day, but the headline said, "We are failing these young people." Quote, you know, data shows thousands of Lynchburg City School students performing below grade level. And
I have a friend who teaches third grade.
Mm-hmm.
She is having to teach children how to use a pair of scissors in the third grade.
Mm.
I mean, and reading so far behind.
Yep.
They're so far behind.
Yeah, and math.
Oh yeah.
You know, but
if you can't read, you can't do. You can't learn anything else.
Very true.
Math, or anything.
And that's why literacy is the most important part of what we're doing. We're located, you know, right next door to Dunbar Middle School and a block and a half down the street from R.S. Payne, both two of the largest schools in this area. But that third to fifth grade period in elementary school is very important because it's that fourth grade where you see the threshold where you go from, you know, learning to read to reading to learn. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you go on to the fourth grade and you can't read or you're not on your current reading level, mm-hmm. It begins a path in which you're on a path that ultimately leads you into prison, according to the statistics. A very high percentage chance,
right?
Like 80% or so. And it's very hard because, you know, kids are stigmatized and ashamed and afraid. They don't want to ask for help. You know, they don't want kids to know, other parents and adults to mm-hmm. know that they can't read. And so they begin learning how to hide it very well.
And don't you think part of this comes from maybe parents who can't teach their children because they didn't learn? I mean, we talk about generational mm-hmm. things. I think many times that can stem from that.
Yes, it's a transgenerational effect. You know, if your parents aren't, if children aren't watching their parents read or they're not interested in reading, there's a high likely, you know, chance that they're not going to be as interested in reading, or if their parents aren't engaged in the schools. So parent engagement in schools is extremely important. You know, one of the things I really admired about Obama is that he really took that issue, you know, seriously. And he talked a lot about parent involvement, fathers getting involved in the community and in the schools, and the effects that it had, you know, on the communities and ability to get the academic performance and behaviors that we all desire and seek to desire.
And that is true. I mean, if you didn't agree with other things,
right? But
you can't argue
that was
that
one thing that, I mean, I think he did an excellent job on, and really emphasizing the fathers in the home. So mm-hmm. one of the things that we're doing to make a difference, you know, that separates us is we're focusing heavily on the parent engagement. You know, I like to use the hole in the bucket syndrome, where, you know, say if you're a counselor, you know, you go see a kid or I go pick a kid up and, you know, he has an empty bucket. By the time I drop that kid off, his bucket is full. But as he's getting out the car and walking into the house, you can see the dripping
it's
coming out of the bucket. You come the next day, pick him up again, the bucket's empty. And it's because you can't really have so much of an impact on a kid if you're not affecting his environment and his mm-hmm. family, mm-hmm. Because a lot, 9 times out of 10, the household is reinforcing the opposite of what you're trying to teach these kids. And so we understand the impact and the importance of a wholesome approach, you know, a collective impact, and bringing the parents in, offering programs to them that they, you know, can capitalize on, which, you know, we have financial literacy courses and things that they can help develop themselves as well while their children are getting the, you know, reading specialist, the tutoring, you know, and being able to develop their reading skills.
People who are out there listening who may want to volunteer
sure.
for your organization, or if they want to, you know, put some of their money that they're wanting to contribute to the community in a meaningful way, I can tell you personally, this is the kind of organization that it's going to take whatever you can give and manifest that into real results. What's the best way for them to be able to do that?
Janet, basically, you can go to visit our website at www.growafuture.org. And the instructions on how you can help and volunteer and contribute in material and even prayer ways are there. All the instructions and just very succinct, concise information on the organization, you can find it at growafuture.org. And also, I'd be remiss if I did not mention Howard Erickson of World Help. We just lost him.
Oh.
He's the coordinator. He's been with that organization for over 20 plus years, and Howard helped us in our messaging with World Help. And so I just wanted to send a shout out to Howard and his widow. He just passed this past week.
Wow.
So World Help has helped us a lot over the years. So yeah, please visit our website.
I'm going to put a link on our Facebook page so people can go directly to that. We appreciate so much you joining us. We appreciate so much the work that you're doing in our community. It's just immeasurable the difference you're making in the lives of these children. Of course, we also want to thank Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation. They help us bring the nonprofit spotlight every Friday here on The Morning Jam.
It is 7:52. We'll have a Friday funny for you coming out of this break. Once again, thanks to these gentlemen for showing up. If you just came in part of the way through the interview, check it out on our SoundCloud page a little bit later on today. Just type in The Morning Jam on VTRN.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
The Community Spotlight is brought to you by the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation.
Thanks to our donors, the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation is a fully accredited organization that has the wherewithal to provide grant money to help support almost 200 nonprofits every year.
Find out how you can plug in and help these organizations make your community stronger, provide critical services and advanced opportunities for everyone.
To find out more about the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation, please visit our website at lynchburgfoundation.org.
Read this article online that had all these amazing facts about the human body, and one of them said that the average human being's skin, our skin is so sensitive, we can feel the weight of a bee's wing. That's 1/10,000th of an ounce. If that's true, I'm below average. I've gone an entire day without realizing I had another pair of my underwear in my pant leg.
It's true.
I was looking at a map of the United States, and I know that we were colonized from east to west, right to left, but it looks like it was the other way around. It looks like the founding fathers approached some guy and they had like an outline of the future country on a piece of paper, and they gave him that and a pen and said, listen, we need you to divide this into 50 sections. Start on the left side. And he was like, oh yeah, there is plenty of room. Get that, you shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Now, I agree with him there.
I mean, you think about it, he's right. When you look at a map,
yeah,
you look at how big those states are.
Yeah, they are.
On the left side.
Running out of room.
And then you get to like Delaware and Rhode Island and Right. Everything's all crammed up in there. It's like, oh, I ran out of room. Dang it. Too late to go back now.
Well.
Just got to cram it all in there.
That reminded me of our little captain challenge we put out earlier, because he was talking about his underwear. We have captain underpants.
Yeah, that's right.
We were asking people, if you thought of a favorite captain, what would it be? You know, Captain Crunch, Captain Kangaroo. Mm-hmm. Because Rachel Levine, who left her house in the morning as a regular American citizen, by afternoon, she was a 4-star admiral.
Yeah.
For Health and Human Services.
Right.
And she's going to... It's well, them, they, them.
They, them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I know
my parents raised me to believe you can be anything you want to be.
True.
In America.
Yeah.
You are blessed to have been born in America, the land of opportunity, the pursuit of happiness. They also taught me you had to work for those things. But apparently with this new administration, you know, it's like I dream a genie. Bink! You're an admiral.
You asked me what I thought.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
I'm your captain, yeah.
Grand Funk Railroad.
I'm your captain.
7:59 on the Morning Jam.
I'm your captain, yeah.
All right, we got some news coming up at the top of the hour. Of course, the tragic story with Alec Baldwin and two folks getting shot on a TV set or a movie set. One losing their life. You'll hear about that at the top of the hour, CBS News. And then we'll have some more funnies.
And Julie Wheeler in the next hour.
Julie Wheeler, who Salty called in about phishing scams, but it was hook, line, and sinker phishing scams, not the kind Julie's going to talk about. She'll be with us around 8:20, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.